As we prepare our hearts for worship, would you hear these words from the Apostle Paul, Philippians chapter 3. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Would you pray with me? And so, Father God, that is why I am here this morning. That is why many of us are here this morning. Because though our world pulls us in millions of different ways, there is one thing that we want most of all, and that is to know Christ. That is to be with Christ. That is to live our lives as one with Christ. That is to lay down everything that keeps us from being fully in love with Christ and to just have more and more of you. That's why we worship. That's why we turn to your word. That's why we pray. That's why we come to your table, because our hearts long only for you, Jesus. And so, Father, this morning, as we worship in this place, would you help us turn from anything this week, this month, this moment that's been keeping us from being fully present to you? And would you let us experience, encounter the reality of heaven coming to earth as your people gather in your name to worship you? That is our longing. Let it be so in this place, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will open Bibles to John chapter 6. We've been in the book of Ruth for all of July, so we're going to go back to the Gospels this morning. John chapter 6, starting in verse 47. This is Jesus speaking. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason, I've told you that no one can come to me unless it's granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Would you pray with me? Bread of life, our hearts turn now to the gift of these words, asking that you would nurture and nourish the deepest parts of our souls where we need to hear from you, to receive from you, and to be transformed more and more into your likeness. And so may your Spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear. And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do, O Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college, we had this acronym, DTR. Anyone know what that means? No one? You'll know. A girl liked a guy. They start hanging out one-on-one. You can tell when they're together that they're clearly flirting. Friends would eventually ask, "Have y'all had a DTR? You know what that means? No. Defining the relationship. The talk. Have you had that real talk where you hash it out? What are we? What are we? Are we just friends? Are we dating? Are we really in? DTR, define the relationship. Maybe just text and say that. Alina, did you know that? Okay, at least Texans know that. Today, Jesus and his disciples, they have a DTR, define the relationship. There's a lot going on in John chapter 6. The chapter begins with Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fish from one little boy's lunch to feed 5,000 people in the wilderness. And at the end of this meal, the crowds come and they want to take Jesus by force to make him king. They say, "This is someone who's going to feed us bread every day. Let's crown him now. This is my kind of king." Jesus, as we know, will not be forced to fulfill our agendas ever. Careful when we find ourselves demanding, "Jesus, do this for me and do it like this and do it in this time frame and do it just how I need you to do it." On this day, he sneaks away from the crowd trying to force him to be their king. He just might sneak away from us when we're a little bit too pushy as well. He is God, not us. So he withdraws to a mountain to be alone, same day. That evening, the disciples are out on the sea in a boat and they are struggling. And Jesus comes walking on the water. They're afraid. He says, "It is I." More than that, he says, "I am. Don't be afraid." They take him in and the wind ceases. All in a day. Sounds like my typical Friday. What about yours? All in a day. Morning comes. And the crowds from that last night, they go out and they are looking for Jesus. Why are they looking for Jesus? Because it's morning and they're hungry and they are ready for breakfast. You gave us bread last night. Where's the eggs? It's time, Jesus. Jesus, looking at this hungry crowd, realizes it is time for a DTR. Remember what that means? Defining the relationship. He flat out tells them, he says, "You are only coming to find me because you want more bread from me, because you want to know how to call down bread from heaven like I do." He says, "But that is not what I've come for." He says, "I am the bread of life. And what I want is for you to come to me, to actually be with me. I have come from heaven, and if you are with me, I can take you to heaven. If you really want to live, you will actually follow me." Don't just show up at breakfast, Jesus is saying, but actually be mine. Don't just come to me for a quick fill up here and there, but look to me for life itself. Don't just make me something that you do sometimes, but make me everything that your life is about. Let's define this relationship, Jesus says. Are you here this morning, he asked the crowds, because you want something from me? Or are you here because you want nothing more than to just be with me? And if it's not just to be with him, he says, then disciples, you have not yet become. Naturally, the people start to grumble. He's not going to feed us, is he? Did he say he came from heaven? Who does he think he is making claims like that? And rather than just back off just a little, simplify things just a little to keep the crowds engaged, rather than try to make it easier with these people who are already kind of one step out, Jesus instead doubles down. He said, if you really know God, you won't miss it, that I am he. If you don't think I am he, then you just must not know God. If you believe me, you get to live forever. I am the bread of life. I'm even better than the manna that Moses, one of the fathers of Israel, called down. He says, I'm better than that. He says, that manna, that left those people hungry again the next day. But if you come and eat me, you will live forever. You will be hungry no more. Try to put yourself in these people's shoes, hearing this for the first time. Someone saying, just eat me and you'll be fine. What? To this crowd of people that are already grumbling, already have one foot out the door, do you notice that Jesus does nothing to beg them to stay? He says, you think what I've already said is bad? Hear this. If you don't believe me, then you must not believe Yahweh. Telling this to a crowd of Jewish people, because he and I are one. I'm more than Moses. I've got the power to make you live. I am God. No apologies given. No defense needed. And their confusion just intensifies. How exactly are we supposed to eat this man's flesh? This is getting really, really weird. And once again, rather than tame his message down to try to just keep them with him, Jesus just makes it weirder. Say, yeah, you heard me. And get this, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, well, then you've got no life. But those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, I will raise them up. Those are the ones who really abide in me, and I in them. What? DTR. Defining the relationship. All right, all you disciples, he says, who've been following me around, waiting for the next miracle, waiting for that next warm, fuzzy moment, waiting for the next upbeat worship service, let's get real about what our relationship is, Jesus says. If you really want to be with me, you can be with me. Just do this. Eat my flesh and drink my blood, and I'll give you all of me. You ready to give me all of you? Things have gotten weird, confusing, hard. Are you willing, Jesus asked, to still give me all of you? Not surprisingly, most everyone in the crowd said, I'm out. This teaching is hard. This is not what we signed up for. And one by one, Jesus watches them walk away. 5,000 plus were fed the night before. Likely hundreds of them had come back for breakfast. But by the end of the morning, it seems that only 12 remain. Everyone is happy to get some dinner from Jesus. But only a very few actually want to share life with Jesus. And can you feel his disappointment, as one by one they don't get what they want and they walk away? And we wonder today in 2024, has very much really changed? I get just the tiniest taste of that disappointment of walking away as a pastor. Each time that anyone that I've loved and cared for chooses to walk away from life together for all kinds of reasons, it stings every time. That's just part of life and relationship. But hundreds in one day? I don't think I could bounce back from that. I think if I was Jesus, I might just throw in the towel and say, God, this is too painful. I'm out. If they're all out, I'm out. And this moment as it's happening, I kind of want Jesus to shout out to all of those who are leaving and say, wait a second, come back. I didn't literally mean eat my flesh and drink my blood. It's a metaphor for crying out loud. Just stick around a little longer. You will understand. I want him to say, you know, I'm the one that's going to suffer here. You guys are going to be fine. Come back. You all you that are walking away, just tell me what you need to stay with me. I'll adjust. He doesn't do that. He never does he? Those who want to go, those who aren't ready to wrestle with Jesus when his teachings get really hard, those who have no intent on a real relationship with him, those who just want a few favors from God, but who don't really want God, Jesus just lets them go. And he turns to his disciples and he says, but what about you? What about you? Do you also wish to walk away? And it's such a gentle question. Just as Jesus always invites, but never forces us to come to him in the first place. Have you ever noticed how he also never forces us to stay with him? He lets us go if we want to go. Because we have this Jesus who, go figure, wants to be with people who actually want to be with him. And if we just don't want him, then he just says, do you wish to go as well? Have you ever been with someone and you got that sense that they really didn't want you there? They were kind of counting down the hours until you moved on so they could get back to their life as usual. You know the feeling. It's obvious when it's happening. And when it's happening, you yourself can't wait to move on because nobody wants to be where they're not wanted. Turns out it's the same with Jesus. He looks at the 12 that he loves. And you know, as much as it pains him knowing that this invitation could be costly, he said, you know, if you want to leave too, you can. You're not stuck with me if you don't want me. Jesus is saying, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving you. But you can leave me if this is getting too hard. Jesus doesn't beg them to choose him. He doesn't force them to walk with him. He simply says, here's who I am, and here's what I'm about. And you can take me or leave me. You can have all of me or none of me. He says, I won't adjust my agenda to make it any easier for you, but I gladly welcome you to join me. Do you also wish to go? And Peter, don't we love us some Peter? Peter speaks up, Jesus, where would we go? We have been with you enough now to know you, and you are the way to eternal life. We're not going anywhere. We believe, we know that you are the Holy One of God. In essence, Peter is saying, yeah, Jesus, this day has gotten weird. And these teachings have gotten hard. And yes, we have got some questions for sure. And no, we don't understand everything about who you are or what you're up to, Jesus, but we know way too much to walk away. If we're not with you, then where in the world are we going to go? Because we have come to know that this world has nothing for us that can meet what our souls actually long for. We don't know everything, but we know We're not bailing on you, Jesus. We're with you. We're all in, regardless of what others do. Even when it's hard, he says, we're all in, Jesus. Even when we look silly for staying because everyone else is leaving, we're all in, Jesus. Even when others are leaving the faith, left and right, we are all in, Jesus. Even when you don't give us breakfast, we are all in, Jesus. Even when you say things that make us uncomfortable, we are all in, Jesus. This is the DTR. Jesus to his disciples, I give you my flesh, I give you my blood. I am all in for you. And Peter in response, and I give you my life, Jesus. I am all in for you too. How about with us this morning? Jesus says the exact same thing. I give you my flesh. I give you my blood. I give you everything. You can have all of me that you want. I'm all in, Jesus says. And it's our turn to respond. Are we all in too? A few thoughts on what we see from just these few verses of what it means to be a real disciple of Jesus. Jesus has lots of admirers, does he not? But from 5,000, we're left with 12 disciples. And I would say the ratio is not all that different today. Admirers to disciples. Disciples have one true hunger. And it's just this. More of Jesus. Just that simple. More than they want the thrill of another miracle. More than they want comfort and ease. More than they want a beautiful mansion in heaven one day. More than they want the list of prayer requests answered. They simply want more of Jesus. And if to know him more means to give up some comfort, that's okay with them because they just want more of Jesus. And if to experience him more means to let go, to lose some earthly possessions, those are out the door in a second because they are only hungry for more of Jesus. And if some of those prayers don't get answered exactly how they want them to be answered, that's okay. They are at peace because in the waiting and in the praying, they are sharing their heart with Jesus, and their deepest hunger is just more of Jesus.
Amen.
What are we hungry for this morning, my friends? What are we hungry for? In the depths of our souls, what do we absolutely want more than anything else? What would we give everything else up to just have more of that one thing? When we're really hungry, and I've maybe made some of you really hungry already, when we're really hungry, all we can think about is how to get some food, right? Our whole body gravitates toward this. Where is my food coming from? When we are really hungry for Jesus, it's a lot of the same thing. He consumes our thoughts. He consumes our plans. He consumes how our day goes. Just more of Jesus. Disciples, more than anything else, they just want more and more of Jesus. Those who wanted breakfast this morning, they're out of the story before noon. But those who wanted Jesus, they were still right by his side when evening came. And those verses from the call to worship this morning, the Apostle Paul says, I only want one thing. He said, I've had all the things. I've had all the credentials. I've had the success. I've had the money. I've had the comfort. I've had the status. He said, and I consider all of it loss. All of it rubbish. He said, there's only one thing in life that I want anymore. He said, it's only to know Christ. The power of his resurrection. And he said, I even want to share in his sufferings if that means I get to know my Jesus some more. How hungry are we for the same? Disciples are hungry for just some more Jesus. Second thing, disciples live with this peace, knowing that they cannot control what Jesus says or where Jesus goes. They are just along for the ride, letting Jesus call the shots. because Jesus is God and we are not. And thanks be to God for that, right? You know, when Jesus started saying, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," you know, Peter was not a guy to hide his emotions. You know, he was standing in the back kind of cringing a bit, like, "Oh, really, Jesus? Jesus, why do you have to make it so weird? Come on, Jesus. I mean, we were just finally getting popular. Why do you got to go mess things up?" But Jesus is going to say what Jesus is going to say. And he is going to move as he is going to move, regardless of how it makes us look or feel. Because he's God and we are not. "Sell your possessions and give them to the poor." And we all cringe. "Real Jesus, that is not how you make friends and influence people these days." "Love your enemies." Ugh. Folks aren't going to be down for that, Jesus. "Take up your cross. Lay down your life. Follow me." Yeah, that's not really what folks are looking for in a spiritual leader these days, Jesus. It's more of a get what you want, how you want, you do you culture. Can you say more along those lines, Jesus? And he won't. And that's okay. Because Jesus' disciples simply accept that he is God and he will say what he wants and he will go where he wants. And we simply get to listen to him and follow him or not. But disciples, listen and follow. Have you wrestled recently with some of these harder teachings of Jesus? Have you let some of Jesus' words make you cringe lately? Have you followed him someplace recently that you really didn't want to go? It's a good way to know if true disciples we are. Finally, disciples of Jesus have this stick-to-it-ness about them. If you're taking notes, that's not a word, I made it up, so good luck. Stick-to-itness. Because they're hungry for Jesus. Because they're listening to his words and they're following on this great adventure that he's got. And at some point on that journey, they finally experienced enough of his goodness and received enough of his grace and seen his wonders more than they can count. And they felt what it is to actually be loved by him. And there comes a point when there is just absolutely nothing that can pull them away. Like Peter, who had been by Jesus' side for a while now, disciples come to this place of saying, "Jesus, if it's not you, I've got nowhere else to go." Having experienced firsthand, Jesus, how good you are, I know for a fact that there is nothing in this world that can even come close to filling my heart like you do. I may not understand in this moment, Jesus, why you're doing what you're doing or why things are so hard, but I am not going anywhere. Jesus, the thought didn't even cross my mind. Nothing could happen that would convince me to leave you, Jesus. I've seen too much, and I know too much, and I love you too much to ever, ever call it quits on this life that we share. And my friends, you know, those of you who know me, that I have been through some hard seasons of ministry. When it felt like God was so far away and so distant, and the desires of my heart did not feel like they were being met. And there have been times in my life and yours when I was so sad about the way things had gone. And there have been times when the valley was so deep and so dark. But I find that I have always come back to this one thing. I may be sad about something that truly hurts. And I may be frustrated that I'm not hearing God's voice. And my job, my calling may change. But Jesus, me with him and him with me, we're not going anywhere. I know too much of how good he is. And I know too much of how desperately my soul needs him. I am not going anywhere. I can promise you this day, if I get to live to be 99 and a half years old, you will still find me walking with my Jesus. I'm sticking with him for all of my days because I know him too well to ever consider walking away. And it's not just me, it's you. Those of you who know him, who have walked with him, who have seen his goodness, you're not going anywhere, are you? There are people that have been through the fire. Corrie Ten Boom, we know her, experienced the Holocaust firsthand, hell on earth, if there ever was one. And she had that beautiful quote where she said, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Even in the face of the Holocaust, watching her family killed off one by one, Corrie Ten Boom said, Jesus, this looks like hell, but with you, I'm not going anywhere, anywhere. Peter would one day be arrested for his faith in Jesus. He would be beaten multiple times. He'd be threatened. Ultimately, tradition says he would be crucified upside down. On this day, he said, Jesus, no matter what, I'm not going anywhere. And though he had no idea what that would mean, he meant it. Jesus, I know too much to leave you. I'm not going anywhere. Is that where your heart is with Jesus this day? So in that there's no way you'll ever be out. You've seen so much of his goodness that you would never walk away if all the riches of the world were on your front step for the taking, because you know they don't even compare. Have you come to trust this love for you so much that even the darkest valley cannot convince you to give up on him? Is your faith sticky? No matter what comes, you'll find yourself by Jesus' side again and again. He's all in. He is all in. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. If that's not all in, what's all in? He is all in. So are you. He's not going anywhere. Neither are you. He's giving his full life to be at home with you. Are you giving your full life to be at home with him? That's the invitation. That's a disciple. That's what we're called into. That's what this table is for. Who is coming to eat with him? Who is coming to be all in with him this day for all of our days?
I am.
Nice, Tommy, me too. Jesus turns from Peter and he looks at us. What about you? This is America in 2024, the Pacific Northwest nonetheless. Folks are leaving the faith in droves. And if not totally leaving, they're at least minimizing its role in their lives to where it's almost obsolete. What about you? Jesus asks. It's our DTR. Define the relationship. They're all going. Are you going away too? To where would I go, Jesus? To where would I go? I've walked with you too much to have any desire to walk with anyone else. You're the one my soul longs for. I'm in today, all my days. Me too, Jesus says. Let's eat together. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, we come to your table as folks who are invited to your table. You've said, my body, my blood, it's all for you, your entire life for us that we might live. And with that very gift, you were all in, holding nothing back to love us. And as we come to your table, Father, all of us have places where we are not all in. And we lay those at your feet, asking you to grow our trust, grow our surrender, grow our love. And as we come to your table, fill us with everything we need to be fully yours today and all of our days. It is our joy to come and eat with you, Jesus, our King. Thank you for meeting us at your table. Thank you that you are the bread of life that our souls long for. Would you bless us as we dine with you? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.